This is Back to the Bible with your host, Steve Weiss. It is the goal of this program to go back to the Bible for God's teaching. Here you will not hear my opinions about religion, nor will you hear the strange doctrines of men being promoted on this program. You will hear that old-time gospel message in its pure and plain form. Robert Benchley once wrote, "Drawing on my fine command of language, I said nothing." Wade Webster of South Haven Church of Christ in Mississippi wrote these words, "First, if you cannot speak with purity, the best thing that you can say, no matter how large your vocabulary may be, is nothing. We read, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That's Ephesians 4, verse 29. Second, if you cannot speak with sweetness, the best thing that you can say, no matter how rich your vocabulary may be, is nothing. We read, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4, verse 31 through 32. Third, if you cannot speak with grace, the best thing that you can say, no matter how extensive your vocabulary may be, is nothing. Paul wrote, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Fourth, if you cannot speak with self-control, the best thing that you can say, no matter how full your vocabulary may be, is nothing. We read, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's Colossians 3 and verse 8. Fifth, if you cannot speak with truthfulness, the best thing that you can say, no matter how huge your vocabulary may be, is nothing. We read, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's Colossians 3 and verse number 9. Sixth, if you cannot speak with love, the best thing to say, no matter how big your vocabulary may be, is nothing. Paul wrote, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Colossians 3 and verse number 9. Listen to these words of wisdom from Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 3. A fool's voice is known by his many words. In Proverbs 17 verse 28, the Bible says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. In Matthew 26, Jesus was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, for interrogation. Peter had followed, but he kept his distance. While they were questioning Jesus, presenting false witnesses against him, and even slapping him, Peter stood outside on the porch with others who were watching what was going on. He could see what was happening because we understand in Luke 22 and verse 61 that Jesus turned and looked at him. In Matthew 26, verses 69 and 70, a girl asked Peter, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But Peter denied it. In verses 71 and 72, there was another who said that Peter was with Jesus. Again, he denied it, saying, I do not know the man. In verses 73 and 74, some others said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee. Bereath is a word from Middle English. We no longer use that word today, but it means to divulge, to reveal something that was hidden or secret. Other translations say to make known or betrays you. Peter, in order to prove his accusers wrong, began to curse and to swear and again denied knowing Jesus. About that time, the rooster crowed and Peter cried bitterly. Taking this idea from the opposite viewpoint, there are many in the world today who say, I know Jesus. He is my Savior, but their speech bereath them. Now, they would never swear at church. If the preacher was visiting in their home, their words would be some of the most kind, the most reverent words you'd ever want to hear from anyone's mouth. But at other times, at work, with their friends, or at home, it's an entirely different vocabulary. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Friends, that means anywhere and everywhere. Not too long ago, I was standing in line to check out at the grocery store when I could not help but overhear, I assume it was a mother of this 2 or 3-year-old girl, and the 2 or 3 year old girl was wanting something, and the mother was not wanting her to have it, and the mother began cursing at her. I tell you, it was shameful. I wanted to go and hide. It was terrible. But cursing and filthy language are becoming normal in today's society. A story is told about a father and a husband who always kept a close watch on his family. He was a very honorable man, very respectful. He never used foul language, neither did he allow his family, his wife, or his children to use such language. He would not even allow visitors in his home to use such language, and certainly wouldn't allow anyone to be drinking or carrying on some coarse or very rude language in his home. But one day he invited someone into their home who made him laugh. His language was sometimes coarse or crude, but it was entertaining. As time went by, the language grew worse and worse. Sometimes this man was even drunk. But the father overlooked it and continued to welcome this friend into his home. They would sit for hours and laugh and watch this friend no matter what came out of his mouth. Eventually, the children picked up the habits of this friend and began to curse and do other things that this person was doing. Friends, if you haven't guessed already, this friend was named Television. Now, I want you to know I'm not against good, clean family entertainment. But friends, if you watch television closely today, you'll hear the comedy shows, the soap operas, the reality shows, and other shows that are laced with four-letter words. Foul speaking. Certainly it is not considered to be good and clean family entertainment, but still we invite it to come into our homes. Jesus spoke these words of wisdom to which you and I should take careful heed. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That was the words of Jesus in Matthew 12. Verses 34 through 37. Before you come down too hard on your children about their language, you might want to take a close look at your own language. One thing that has caught on like wildfire today is the phrase, "Oh my God," or the text, "OMG." People use these words or the name of Jesus for the most frivolous of things. It has just become a byword or a way of expressing astonishment or surprise. The first commandment in the law of Moses says that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Psalm 111 in verse 9 says this, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." God is the only one in the Bible who is called reverend. But someone who uses OMG or O Lord or Jesus will seek to justify themselves by saying, "Well, I really didn't mean it." Friends, the word vain means useless. In other words, I didn't mean anything by it. Every time we use the words God, Lord, or Jesus, it ought to be with the utmost respect and reverence. They should never be spoken in a flippant or disrespectful manner. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 89, verses 5 through 8. "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." Notice these words of John in Revelation 4 and verse number 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In verses 10 and 11 it says that the 24 elders fell down before the Lord who was sitting on the throne. They cast their crowns before the throne, and they said this, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Friends, our speech ought to be very reverent, especially when we're referencing God or Jesus Christ. In order to change how the world thinks and speaks, we ought to first examine our own speech and make the changes that will give honor and glory to God. Then we can help others to change. Paul wrote again in Colossians 4 and verse number 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." In Colossians 3 and verse 8, he said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Remember again the words of Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Again in verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Your words reveal your heart. If your language is filled with foul words, what does that say about your heart? If your language is filled with vain references to God or to Jesus, what does that say about your respect, your reverence toward God and Jesus? But if your words are continually filled with reverence and respect for your Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus, then it reveals a heart of honor, a heart of respect. When someone says, "Oh, it's just a habit, I can't help it," well, do you help it when you're with certain people? Do you curse when you go to church or maybe a funeral or something? Consider this. What if you were being brought before a judge and he was going to either find you guilty or innocent? He was going to either turn you loose or put you into prison. How would you speak while you were standing before him? Would you speak using filthy and disrespectful language? Or would you show the judge the highest respect, both in your actions and in your language? Would you say whatever came to mind? Or would you choose your words very carefully? Friends, habits can be broken. Words can be chosen. What if it was Jesus who was standing beside you? What kind of words would you choose then? Listen to the words of the wise man in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 3. "Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool." This is similar to a quote from Abraham Lincoln, which says, "Better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." Friends, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Choose your words carefully. Thank you for listening today. Join us again next time for another lesson from God's Holy Word.